I got a request from Lon to explain this gatha. Last time, Swiss nuns chanted this gatha. Then I think this is pretty common in European Zen centers. I'm not sure, at least the Deshimaru Roshi's group, they chant this one at the end of Zazen. And usually, just like we did before, English twice and Japanese once in Japanese. Then totally three times, we repeat. And there are several, we call it Shigu Seigamon in Japanese. Shigu Seigamon. But translation is the four bodhisattva vows. Or in Soto Zen's text, they say just four vows. Four vows. And this translation, there are several different translations, but this is a Soto Zen version. Not very different, but just a little words are different. And as you know, in Soto Zen, practitioners are called bodhisattva. All practitioners are bodhisattva, so we are bodhisattva. Because we practice Zazen, we practice Buddhism, and before we arouse the body-mind, first we arouse the body-mind, they go into the practice. But if body-mind and practice connect directly, sometimes it's really dangerous. Because practice is not only one-time sitting. You know, just practice continues many years and even whole life we continue practice. It's like a journey, you know. So for journey, we need a compass. Otherwise, sometimes we go somewhere else and we lose the goal. I've been ordained 20 years, but in these 20 years, there are so many things happened. And time to time, I'm very eager to practice, but sometimes my health is not very good and very difficult to sit zazen. And sometimes I feel depression. And you know, our mind is changing all the time. But still, we should continue practice. To continue true practice, we need a compass. The vow is one of our compasses for our practice. The other compass is precept. Somebody put on rakusu.
Oh, yeah. I thought everybody else was as well.
So everybody have rakusu? Yes. Also, most people took the precept?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Oh, good. I really recommend to take a precept. In Soto Zen, we have 16 precepts. It's Bodhisattva precept. In former other school, there are many, 348, or for men, 250, and for women, 348, in some reason. It's not equal, but there are many precepts. But Soto Zen is in Mahayana school, so only 16 precepts. So that is also the one of compasses to keep our practice correctly. But today I want to talk about vows. So vow is essential for all practitioners. And part of the definition of bodhisattva is a person who lives by vow instead of karma. Usually we live on karma. We have some habit and preferences or ready-made system of values. As we grow up, we learn a system of values and from the culture around us, which we use to evaluate the world and choose actions. So we are always controlled by karmas. But to taking vows, our life always aim to Buddha. Just like magnet. If we try to go somewhere else, the vow, you know, it pull to the Buddha. So it's really important and very precious thing for us. Some people think vow is just like a prayer. It's a special promise we make to Buddha. But the vow is not like that. There are several vows. Some vows are particular vows for each person, just like New Year resolution.
Yes, yes.
Just like that. So we can take any vows, personal vows. But general vows are not like prayer. It's based on reality. Buddhism is always based on reality. So vow is also go back to our reality. We are very easy to forget these things, but and think many things in my mind. But taking vows and reciting these vows, we go back to our reality. That's our Buddhist practice. Sitting zazen is also based on these vows. Let's go into these four bodhisattva vows. The first vow is, beings are numberless. I vow to free them. Second is, delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Third is, dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. The fourth is, the Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to realize it. I think these words are pretty easy to understand. But to understand the deep meaning, we should go back to Buddha's teaching. Please look at the second chart on the right side. The Four Noble Truths. This Four Noble Truths is Shakyamuni Buddha's basic teaching. Are you familiar with four? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So this is very basic teaching. Shakyamuni Buddha realized this world is suffering. Our life is suffering. And there is a cause of suffering. Then also cessation of suffering. And there is a path that leads us to nirvana. These four points, these four are noble truths which Shakyamuni realized. The four bodhisattva vows are a very close connection with these four noble truths. To check each verses, we should know there is an old version of four bodhisattva vows. The bodhisattva vows now we are chanting is from Tendai text. It's about, we call it Makashikan in Japanese. Do you know Makashikan? Have you ever heard?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest texts of Tendai school. I'm not sure the English translation of Makashikan. Maybe Mahayana practice of cessation and contemplation or something. Please check. Makashika is very famous. Mm. And this verse is, we took this verse from Makashika. But before Makashika, about Makashika is written in 594. But maybe before that, there was a verse, old version of for bodhisattva vows. This is the second church. I vow to enable people to be released from the truth of suffering. I vow to enable people to understand the truth of the origin of suffering. I vow to enable people to peacefully settle down in the truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. I vow to enable people to enter the cessation of suffering, that is nirvana. This is the old version of four bodhisattva vows. If we read this old version, it's easy to connect with four bodhisattva, four noble truths, isn't it? Yes. It's closer. And the order is different. The third goes to the fourth noble truth, and the fourth last vow goes to the third noble truth. Mm-hmm. But the meaning is very easy. The Buddha said that our life is full of suffering. But some people hear this, they say Buddhism is very pessimistic. You know, of course we have suffering, but we also have happiness. Sometimes we enjoy our life. Many people say that. But this suffering means a deeper meaning, not only the joyfulness of our life. The original word is dukkha in Sanskrit. Dukkha means kind of unsatisfaction in English. Everything is impermanent. That's the truth which Buddha realized. Everything is impermanent, always changing. Everything is changing. But our mind is always stick to something. Always try to grasp something, and we wish, please be stay. Yeah. Always, the gap makes us suffer. You know? So everything is changing. If we understand this truth, we cannot grasp anything. And if we really understand this truth, we understand the second truth. The second vow is truth of the origin of suffering. The origin is our deluded mind, because reality is changing always, but our deluded mind tried to grasp something. That's the cause of suffering. So that's why being numbers, I vow to free them. Free them. Free from what? Free from suffering. Free from dukkha. Free from unsatisfaction. You know, everybody has unsatisfaction. You know, even if they are very happy, they feel unsatisfaction. They feel unsatisfied of something. This is a really truth for everybody. That's why I vow to free them. And the second one, delusions are inexhaustible. The cause of suffering is delusion, and it's inexhaustible, never stop. So I vow to end them. If we don't take these vows, delusions become bigger and bigger, and it drives us to unwholesome action. That's why we take this vow. And third one, third vow, Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. This relates to the fourth noble truth. This the old version is, I vow to enable people to peacefully settle down in the truth of the path, leading to the cessation of suffering. This path referred to is our practice of the Eightfold Noble Path. Eightfold Noble Path is below. You know this. So, in the modern version of third vow, it's I vow to enter them, enter the path, enter the Eightfold Noble Path. Some translation says I vow to master them, because Dharma gates means Dharma teaching, so try to master them. But actually, if we see the origin of these vows, of course, the Dharma we master teaching, but also vow to we enter the path of Eightfold Noble Path. So enter is a correct translation. And the last vow is the Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to realize it. Realize it means realize nirvana. If we see the old version, we can see realize nirvana. Buddha's way means Buddha's awakening. So they are directly connected with the Four Noble Truths. So we always go back to Shakyamuni Buddha's basic teaching. That's why we chant these Bodhisattva vows. And if you look at these four vows, let's look at the modern one. Can you find the contradiction? Something different, something wrong. Do you understand? Can you guess? Because if beings are really numberless, how we free them? If delusions are really inexhaustible, how we end them? Dharma gates are really boundless, how we enter and complete them? It's impossible. Actually, it's really impossible. But this is a good point. This is a deep religious point. You know, we never complete our practice. Our practice is just continue all the way, whole our lives. We just try to free them all the time. But the result, we don't care. You know, that's a practice. That's a shikantaza. We sit zazen, but we don't attain anything. We don't get anything. Just practice. Just sitting. That spirit is in this bodhisattva vow also. And our practice is not only sitting. Our daily life, each activity is a practice. But basic is zazen, and when after finish zazen, we go back to our daily life. We just keep our mind in zazen. So walking, working, or housework, or job, or anything, right? So the reason why we chant this gatha at the end of zazen is that point. Bodhisattva is someone who try to practice, who try to attain the Buddha's realization. And the other point, Bodhisattva is helping all beings. And we vow to become Buddha together with other beings. The 2 point, Bodhisattva has 2 points. So during zazen, we sit by ourselves, but after zazen, we live with other people. So Bodhisattva is stay in this world, samsara, suffering world, with other beings. And we never become a Buddha until all beings become Buddha. That's the spirit of Bodhisattva. So this kind of spirit is in this vow. Then this vow originally come from Shakyamuni Buddha. Shakyamuni Buddha get enlightenment under the Bodhi tree. Then after that, what did he say? He didn't try to go out and teach immediately. Do you know this story? Buddha tried to, when Buddha attained enlightenment, he tried to enjoy the state of enlightenment. And he thought, no, this truth is really deep and really difficult to tell. Other people may not understand. So maybe it's better I sit here, I stay here and enjoy this state of mind. But Brahmans came and he encouraged Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, please teach, please tell other people about practice, about enlightenment. People are waiting for you. Then Buddha decided to go and teach. At this point, Buddha determined to leave other people, not stay in happiness, not stay in an enlightened state of mind. He decided to go out to samsara, go out to the people with suffering, then help other people. That's the spirit of Bodhisattva. That's why we chant this gatha at the end of Zazen. Then it's same thing with Shakyamuni Buddha. After Zazen, we don't get the enlightenment, maybe, but at the end of Zazen, we determine to go out. We determine to leave other people. We determine to help other people. That is Bodhisattva. So chanting these four Bodhisattva vows makes us Bodhisattva. Go back to Buddha, stick to Buddha, and leave other Buddha in this world. That's the meaning of the four Bodhisattva vows.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
When we make these vows, who are we vowing? Who are we making the vow to? Is it to ourselves or to the Buddha or who?
To ourselves.
To ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can say to the Buddha too, but we don't think Buddha is something outside of us, and we are here and pray to Buddha. That's not true. Buddha is inside. We are Buddha. Mm-hmm. When we are sitting in Zazen, we are Buddha. Then we go out in this world, we are Buddha. We go out as a Buddha. Even if we don't get enlightened, but we try to live as a Buddha. That is Bodhisattva. That's why we call the practitioner Bodhisattva. Even if very beginners, they are also Bodhisattva, because they arouse their body, mind, and they try to practice. They want to help other people. That is Bodhisattva. So there are many, many Bodhisattva in this world. So these are for the chanting for all Bodhisattvas.
Yuko-sensei,
yes?
When you say we are Bodhisattva and we are Buddha, is there a difference?
Yes. There are many meanings of Buddha. Buddha is usually Buddha, when we say Buddha, it's get enlightenment. And original Buddha is Shakyamuni Buddha. So we try to follow him, right? But Bodhisattva is someone who can become a Buddha already. Buddha is the enlightened one, awakened one. It's Buddha. So Bodhisattva can awaken already, but he determined not to awaken, then stay in this world, then help others. So if we separate that kind of separation, but sometimes we mix up, to use the word.
And then there's a third one, there's beings.
Mm-hmm.
Beings, Bodhisattva, Buddha.
Third one? Which one?
Beings are numberless.
Beings are numberless.
It seems like beings is different from Bodhisattva.
Yes. Sometimes it's sentient beings. Mm-hmm. So all beings. We chant, we are also one of beings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't separate.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, so within the Eightfold Path, I guess this is the final vow of the modern version, we've got things like right view, right intention, right action. Mm-hmm. How do we know if they are right or not?
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe we think, if I do this, I will help this person.
Mm-hmm.
But then we find out what we did actually didn't help them at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How? What's... I guess what's the definition of right? How do we know? Very good question.
Yes. You know, the very basic teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha is cause and conditions. You know, there is a cause and effect, but they are not one-to-one. There are many effects. Then, according to each effect, many conditions, and the cause changes according to conditions, right? So we cannot say one action is good or bad, because there are many, many different conditions. And we, for example, I don't want to say this, but during war, you know, the killing is good thing, you know. But after war, it's really bad thing. In each conditions, good and bad changes. So we cannot say what is bad, what is good. But we Buddhists knows the system of the cause and conditions. So according to cause and conditions, we should think what is best, what is not good. So it's really always changing. So we cannot say what is good or is bad. But we have we have precept. So according to precept, what we should do, we should think in each time. That's why precept is very important. Once we take precept, it becomes also compass to the journey of our practice. Any questions? Okay, so it's almost time. So thank you very much for coming, and I'm very happy to sit with you.